This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Banks Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Banks Totally Free Checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And this morning, we're going to talk school levies, specifically Columbia Falls Schools. We have Superintendent Corey Jeffco with us.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you. And we've got the guy that knows everything about school finance, and we're going to put that to the test today, Dustin Suvalato. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you.
Good. Say, he's laughing. You think I'm kidding.
No, we'll make him work for it today.
Yeah, I'm married to a former superintendent, so I kind of know a little bit about these things.
A little bit about the role, perfect.
Boy, I sure do. I understand completely. And how long have you been a superintendent in Columbia Falls?
I just joined July 1st of this last year, so starting here in my first year. First
so you
of
jumped
many.
Right into it.
Jumped right in. Yeah. Enjoying every minute of it.
how long have you been at this now?
I'm over about 20 years now.
Okay, so this guy's kind of educating you, right?
He is definitely educating me.
Okay. Well, you've got really three issues that you're going to be talking about with us this morning. And let's kind of get into this and break it down so folks in Columbia Falls really understand what it is we're talking about. First of all, the building reserve levy. What actually are we talking about here?
Yeah, but that building reserve levy, we're just going to ask our community to help us remove a roof at the high school, the second floor instructional wing, and put a new roof back on. It's at its end of its life. And we just need some help to make sure we've got a great learning facility for our students. And we don't ask often, but this is a definite need for the district.
Now, this is not like for a new building or anything like that. You just need to replace an old roof.
Correct. Yep. Old roof off, new roof on.
Is it leaking?
It is not leaking. It just had some damage during the year, during the last 15, 17 years. Nothing of negligence, nothing that we've missed. We just happened to notice it when we were working on another project. That was federally funded and saw that the roof decking had corroded out and was compromised in some areas. So we had to put some shoring in throughout the year, October through December, just to ensure the roof is secure. Students are still in it. Staff is still safe. But now it's time to replace the whole system, not just the membrane.
So we're really concerned about it from a safety perspective.
Correct. Yeah. And just that whole learning environment for our students.
Well, of course, you can't, it's pretty hard to learn when you got water dripping on your
head. Exactly.
Or you're wondering if the roof's going to come through on you.
In constant construction. Yeah. And
so how much is this going to cost us?
We're looking for $1,375,000 a year for 2 years. So it's a two-year levy. After that, 2 years, it would drop off the books. We're kind of looking at some other projects for the district, but the board was really focused on ensuring that the targeted amount was just to get the roof done, not adding anything.
Wow. Okay.
So $2.75 million is the big number.
Okay. Yeah, now you're growing a lot in Columbia Falls. I mean, I'm just amazed at how much bigger Columbia Falls was or is than it was just a couple of years ago. What effect is that having on your school?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I was up here 20 years ago on my honeymoon, and I remember driving through Columbia Falls, and it's not the same Columbia Falls of 20 years ago. Population are coming up. We've got some great things happening in the community. District is growing. We're looking at larger class sizes. So just making sure we've got the facilities. And we know our community supports us. And like I said earlier, we don't ask our community often for help, but we just know they're always there for us.
Well, for everybody who doesn't know, how big is your district? You've got one high school, one middle school,
and then two K-5s.
And two K through fives.
Yep, so about 2,256 kids.
Okay, that's not a large district, but it's one that you're going to have to absorb a lot more kids as things continue.
Correct, yeah, we're the largest Class A district, and we just keep growing, and we're hitting some good growth in our district.
All right, so.
Yeah, in 2019, our community supported a $40 million facility levy that really jump-started, and it was for the two K-5 elementary schools. And so that we had to kind of work through supply chain and all those things during the COVID period. We kept everything on budget and on time. Those two schools are great. And the board knew that we were going to have to work on the high school. The high school is the only high school in the county that hasn't had any additions or renovations. It was originally built in 1958. Wow. So there's no, levy or anything associated with that facility. And we knew that we were going to have to focus on it next. And then this roof issue kind of hopped into our laps a little earlier than we had expected.
So now the two elementary schools that you did the work on before, these are not new elementary schools. These are existing ones.
Yeah, one of them we renovated. It was about a $15 million renovation. And then the other one we determined through the community engagement process that it was easier or more effective to replace it instead of renovate. So that one is a brand new school, Glacier Gateway Elementary, and then Reuter Elementary was just renovated.
And the idea, what I was leading on to here is you don't have a staff issue here because you've got the same staffs you had before, just the same facilities. In Kalispell, we had a situation where we built a new elementary school, and, well, we had the funds to do that through the bond issue, but then it came time to staffing that school, and there was no money to do that. The state didn't provide us any money for that. All we did was we just simply got the money, and we had to provide those funds, which is similar to what you're doing, but you don't have to worry about restaffing the schools.
Yep, our staffing is solid and secure, but yeah, we just got to get that roof on there.
Okay, all right. Yeah. And
No, that's a good point, John, because like when you look at your the struggles just to get a facility built, that then there is no mechanism to actually the ongoing costs and the extra custodians we had to see. We saw that a little bit in the additional square footage that we added to help facilitate that growth and kind of stay ahead of that curve. But those are the things that are a bit overlooked when you go through the actual building process, but then the ongoing cost to maintain those buildings is not a real easy mechanism to fund as well.
You know, most of us really, our only connection with schools is we went to school. I sat in a classroom and, so I think now I can be a teacher. Well, I learned the hard way. It's tougher than it looks when you're sitting in the desk. By the same token, you look at it and you say, well, I didn't need all this stuff. I didn't need technical stuff. I didn't need notebooks. I didn't need, interactive whiteboards and things like that. Why do these kids need that?
You know, I think with that, John, it's what the world they're going to be in. You look back decades ago, the internet, job markets were a little different back then. But now the future untold for the kiddos, how are they going to be productive citizens? It's just the world they're going to be living in. My own three kids, they're in a completely, completely foreign educational land than I went through. And just want to keep providing those opportunities, that forward thinking for them.
Well, even just the way that you teach now is different than you and I, not least that I was taught. And I think I got a really great education at Edges here and through the Kalispell schools. But, the way it's done now, the way the team teaching and the constant, you're constantly evaluating the kids and individually, it's a different ball game now.
Yeah, it's that fine tuning of their educational needs. It's not the one test at the end. It's the constant looking at what the kids need, the teachers adapting and providing that need. The needs of our kids today are different than my needs when I was a student, and just trying to provide for everybody.
You make a point that a lot of educators have made, and that's we don't really know what we're preparing our young students for. We don't know everything's changing so fast. Now we got this artificial intelligence thing out there. What in the world are we going to do about that?
Exactly. Yeah. How do you address the unknown? How do you work with kids? I remember asking my own three, like, what do they want to be when they grow up? And they're probably going to be something that I don't even know of right now.
Yeah.
By the time they get there. So, yeah, AI has been a fun one. And just as fast as the world is evolving and changing.
You see AI in education?
Yes.
How?
Do I see it being used or we're currently
using
it?
How would you use it?
I use it to help me with writing. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if you're writing a memo, if you're writing an email, you can draft it out and it would kind of give you a different lens. Just on helping create, come up with ideas. I know I can't keep talking about my three kids, but we use it for writing a story. My second grader, she may be like, I want to hear a story about a dog that goes on a picnic up in the mountain. And you can use some AI software to write that story. And then she could work on reading it. So just in how it could be productively used in education, that's going to be the interesting thing that teachers are faced with every day. How do they monitor it? How do they support it? How do they foster that in their classrooms?
All right. So I'm taking you a long ways off of what we're going to talk about today, but I think these are all things we need to kind of fill in a little bit, because understanding that these kids are in a different world than we were in, and if we try to compare the two and say, well, I didn't need that, and I turned out okay. Well, it's true, you did. But
correct.
Okay, let's get into the operational levy that you guys are looking at. We'll do that right after this.
You look around Columbia Falls, the stunning mountains, crystal clear lakes, beautiful valleys, and litter? Spring has revealed the need for caring people to tidy up our town. This is Caleb Bauman with Glacier Bank, member FDIC, hoping you'll help us clean the falls April 27th. Meet at Glacier Bank, 822 Nucleus Avenue at 9 a.m. Students, clubs, service organizations, moms, dads, kids, and grandparents. Everyone who cares about our community is welcome to help. After picking up the trash left behind this winter, lunch will be served by the Columbia Falls Lions Club and fantastic prizes will be awarded. It will be a great day, one Glacier Bank is proud to be a part of. Questions? Come by Glacier Bank in Columbia Falls or call us at 406-751-4767. Thanks to you, our town will shine again.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
We're talking with Columbia Falls School Superintendent Corey Jeffco and the guy that runs the finances. He's supposed to be the smartest school finance guy on the planet, Dustin Zuffalato. So I'm going to kind of spend a little time with you, Dustin, on this one, because this is the operational levy. How does this differ from the building reserve levy?
Yeah, so this is our main operating levy to ensure that we have the staff benefits and also just operational costs from everything from our property liability insurance, fuel for the buses, and anything else that's associated with making sure the schools are open the doors and operate every day.
And so that's basically everything you need to keep the place open.
Yeah, so, you know, and I think one of the biggest, in the state of Montana, the biggest thing that drives our budget is enrollment, right? So the number of students, and as you noted, like growth is a thing in our county, but in our school district in particular, it hasn't been much of a force to drive those numbers higher. And so really, we're just looking for the state funding formula to provide those inflationary increases to keep up. I think the school board's very cognizant of this is not a great time to be asking for additional money with the property tax situation we're in.
Yeah.
But it's just some things that we can discuss to kind of drive the point that we had no choice is kind of irrelevant discussion, I think, today.
Okay. So it doesn't look like you're looking for a whole lot of money in this port of it. What, 400 and what? Well, about $500,000 all told, a little better than that.
Yeah.
So it's not a huge amount of money that you need. When was the last time you were able to replenish that levy?
Yes, so our high school was 2014, and then in our elementary it was 2012. So it's been some time, and I think I recall Matt Jensen talk about how it just erodes over time when you have those levies that occur, everyone you know understands the property tax situation, but I think everyone can also understand the cost of everything and how it's changed just since 2021. And we've had to basically absorb all those costs without any increases, and we can kind of go in through those numbers, but the state funding formula has provided basically zero to us over those couple years. And we've had to try to backfill with the ESSER funding, federal funding, which is also coming to an end, and that's something that we tried to not you know, make sure there was not a cliff associated with that. But inherently, we were put in a situation through that funding formula that we had no choice. Like when COVID occurred in 2020, the 2021 school year, obviously we had 20 or 30% reduction in students that attended, and that drove our budget, right? But the state did not, during that 2021 session, did not recognize that loss of funding and said, well, you guys have all this federal funding from the federal level, so we don't need to backfill that. But we understood that it didn't matter. We still had to continue to operate, still had all the same costs. And at some point, that federal money was going to go away. And here it is in 2024, in September 30th, 2024, is the period of availability for all those funds. So we have to spend it by then, and we won't have anything for next year to kind of support what we've been having to use.
And this is happening to a lot of districts. In case of Missoula, my gosh, it's been catastrophic down there with those ARPA funds going away. All of a sudden, they've got a cliff like you said. How did you avoid that cliff?
Yeah, I mean, most of the use of the funds originally was all the you know, directly related to contact tracing and directly related to support staff. In an effort to do that, we had a nursing, custodial staff, cleaning supplies, all those things. And then over the three rounds, I think we got to the third round, and that's the one we're using right now, and that's how we ended up finding the RIF situation. We were able to carve those funds out and actually do an air ventilation HVAC system project for our facilities, and thought, you know, what a better way to leverage those dollars than to, you know, mitigate, obviously, putting that into the classroom and having those large funding cliffs at the end. We really tried to be cognizant of not having that. But again, you know, we've had to use them to cover some of the ongoing costs throughout the couple of years, just because of the lack of state funding.
Well, you see, that's another part of it. It really confuses everybody, and I would imagine to some extent it does you too. 80% of the funding comes from the state. The other 20% is you know, locally we're responsible for, and it's that 20% that we're talking about here.
Yep, exactly. It is, and again, it's about this time last year when everyone received their property tax revaluations, and they thought, and I where the Department of Revenue put something about that most of it goes to schools. Well, again, our enrollment drives our numbers, so it doesn't matter what our property values did. Our property values in our district went up more than 40% last year, but all we did was reduce the number of mills we levied, because we're capped based on our enrollment, not on those values. So generally speaking, it's just a really hard message to drive that, you know, they think, well, where did all this money go? Where is it coming? You know, and it really had no effect in our operational budgets.
Yeah, it was kind of explained to me this way. You got 20%, all right, that's your operating cost that you're responsible for as a local community. Well, let's just say, for example, in the situation of Kalispell, that 20% was the number they had in 2007, okay? And that number, that 20% is a lot more today than it was in 07. And you guys are kind of in the same situation.
Yeah, exactly. So for that 20%, they call our overbase levy, and that's part of an equalization piece to our funding formula, is to make sure that no matter if you're in Whitefish or Weibo or Glasgow, everyone, all the students have the same opportunity. So everyone has to have that 80% base budget. And again, it's not based on your tax value or how wealthy your district is. It's based on your enrollment. But that 20% for our school district, in our elementary, it was $2,051,000 or something. And that's been the same number since 2012. And it's a little bit over $1 million in our high school district, but and that's been the same number since 2014. So you're right, it's an interesting, so the increases that we get from the state, it's only 80% of that that's getting it. We have to ask for that remaining 20%, and we, and again, have been reluctantly to do that until we came to the situation where we're in now, and then we're kind of to a point where we're going to have to reduce things if we don't.
All right, so this is Columbia Falls Schools, but it really applies to all of our schools that are dealing with this. So let's kind of put a ribbon on all this right after this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do looks matter? In this case, yes. You're here with Cambria Ulrich for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. If you take pride in the way our town looks, and we have a feeling you do, you'll help clean the fish April 27th. Caring locals gather at Glacier Bank, 319 East 2nd Street at 8:30 a.m. Coffee, juice, and breakfast in the parking lot, then out into nearby neighborhoods to tidy things up. Trash bags, gloves, and reflective vests will be provided. Back at the bank, lunch is served at 11:30. High fives and big thanks for all your hard work, plus prizes. A $100 gift card for adults and two bikes in different sizes for kids. Glacier Bank appreciates you being there, for cleaning the fish, and for taking pride in our community. The way our town looks makes a difference. What truly matters? Your caring.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
And this morning we're talking with Columbia Falls Schools Superintendent Corey Jeffco and their finance guy, Dustin Zuvalato. So, okay, let's kind of put a ribbon on this. There's really three things that you're asking for here. The first one is the roof on the high school.
The first ask is our high school building reserve levy.
Right.
Take the roof off, put a roof on.
All right.
And then the other two levies are operational levies. And one of our trustees, Justin Sheff, said it best, and I'm stealing it from him, is we want September to look like June. You know, the last segment we talked about the financial impact. We want the best opportunities for our kids that we're leaving them with June when we close the door on the 23-24 school year, and then open up in September for the 24-25. So that's what these levies would provide the district, to make sure it would look the same.
So if the voters say okay on this new roof, when will you get it on?
I believe we could start as early as May 8th.
Really?
Yeah.
Just as soon as
yep.
it can.
Yep, we've got our engineers with Chicola Engineering and our contractor pending the levy approval with Swank Enterprise, and they're ready to go. We're in the gate, kind of like the Kentucky Derby, waiting for that bell. Our students and staff at the high school have been flexible and resilient through the whole thing. It's a tight time, 20 weeks. 21 weeks we're looking at to replace the roof, and we're ready to go as soon as we can count
the votes.
That
took a bit of planning, didn't it? Because we're all hearing stories about how, boy, I tell you, everybody's so busy right now. Construction is difficult.
Yep. We've had some great partnerships with those two entities I named, Chicola Engineering and Swank Enterprise, and just helping us navigate this whole thing. We're ready to go.
All right. And as far as the operational levy, I guess the tough question I have to ask you, Dustin, is what happens if the voters say no?
Yeah, it's something we've been working through from the board level. We're very cognizant of the messages we have to our staff and their, want to make sure that they understand that we're not trying to make any cuts that would affect or jeopardize their ability to secure a job next year. But at the same time, we do have programs and we do have some things that we can work through to try to make things occur again, but it won't, again, look the same. We do have, through attrition, resignations and retirements that come through every year. So there's probably some moving around associated with that, ensuring that we, aren't able. I mean, 90% of our budget comes from people and staff to support our students, and so it obviously is going to make the biggest impact when those are positions that come up for whether it's a retirement or a resignation, just aren't replaced next year, and whether where those land, what classrooms and those sort of things all depend on student load and kind of what can be the most minimal impact. I think the board has been really constant. If the K-3, kind of the early literacy, those kind of things are very, very, very important.
Yeah, we got to get these kids started right.
Yeah.
And or the rest there, of it's just going to be difficult.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, Corey, talk with me a little bit about accreditation, because you guys have got to go through that every so often, and there are standards out there for class size.
Correct, yes. And the district would never put our accreditation in jeopardy. So we're going to abide by those standards set by OPI and ensure that our staffing levels match that. But if the levies don't pass, there could be some things we'd have to review in what we offer and the supports that we can provide our kids.
You know, I mean, it looks to me like, at least for the youngest students, 20 per certified teacher.
Yep.
And for the next level up, grades 3 and 4, 28, 5 through 8, 30. And high school, no more than 30 in a class.
Correct. So, yeah, we've been below those maximum accreditation numbers. But we, if like Mr. Cifilato talked a little bit about adjustments, we may have to drop some sections, increase some class sizes.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, we're not looking to remove any staff members that we have, the dreaded, for anybody, the dreaded RIF. It's not good for any district. It's not good for any teacher, any staff.
All right. Guys, I wish you the best on this levy request. It doesn't sound to me like you're asking for much more than just the bare minimum of what you need to keep things the way they are.
Yep. We just, I say curiosity fuels transparency. We've got a meeting tonight at the high school at 7 p.m. If people want to get their questions answered, we'd be happy to help them.
All right. Corey and Dustin, thank you guys so much for coming in and being so open with us this morning.
No, appreciate you having us. Thank you.
It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community is an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.